We are about to begin Sefer Trei Asar, which is the last Sefer in all of Nevi'im, which is a tremendous accomplishment considering how long we've been learning together. Trei Asar is a very interesting Sefer. It's 12 different Nevi'im. It's often called in English the Minor Prophets, which is unfair and inaccurate considering that their prophecies are as important, have huge significance to Klal Yisrael. Many of the quotes we use in davening come from Trei Asar. Trei Asar, even though many of us never learned it inside, has a tremendous impact on performative Judaism as we have it today. In a time without a Beis HaMikdash, without Karbonos, Trei Asar has a huge impact, and it's wonderful that we're going to get the chance to learn it together. Trei Asar was recorded by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So it is one of the latest Sfarim of Nach that was written. It was committed to writing after the Babylonian exile ended, when we returned to Eretz Yisrael and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi suggests that the Nevi'im themselves didn't put their prophecies in writing. They had very short prophecies. And the Gemara Bava Basra, which tells us this, also tells us that the 12 Sfarim of Trei Asar are so short that there was a fear that one or more of them would be lost on such small, concise scrolls. Ovadia has only one parak in it. And so combining them together allowed longevity for them, so that we have them all together and we still have them. They are not united by time period. In fact, they're not even organized by time period. The earliest Navi in Trei Asar, Ovadia, prophesied during the time of Ahav. He should have been first chronologically. And yet we're going to see that we start with Hoshea instead, who is a Navi at the same time as Yeshaya, which is quite some time later. Ahav was the time of Eliyahu HaNavi. That was quite a bit earlier. It's not chronological, except in certain spots. Hoshea, then Yoel, who was between Hoshea and Amos chronologically, and then Amos. Yonah was put between Amos and Micha, Ovadia and Yonah. So it's really not organized in any kind of chronological way. It's also not organized in terms of who's doing the Nebuos. We have noblemen, very wealthy Jews, and we have shepherds. We have people from all different walks of life and from various parts of Eretz Yisrael, of the 10 tribes, and Eretz Yehuda. The Jewish people do not pick and choose who our Nevi'im are going to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose these individuals, and according to Chazal, there were more than a million Nevi'im during the era of prophecy. But these 12 were destined to be recorded. And they are short, because if you combine all of Trei Asar together, all the prakim still amount to fewer prakim than in the one Sefer Yeshaya, which was 66 prakim. So it's not length or size of the klaf of the scroll that is important. It's what they have to say. They are telling us about standards of morality and behavior, how we are supposed to behave. They are comparing us constantly, and it's not always targeted at either Yisrael or Yehuda, but at the nation as a whole. We are compared frequently to other nations and our behavior in the context of world behavior. And so a number of these Nevuos also give great mussar to the nations of the world, who have standards of behavior and loyalty that are the lowest of the low. There's the connection to the Baal that constantly comes up, which is cited. Dr. Mendel Hirsch, who I'll be mentioning here and there, the son of Rav Shamshal Frohl Hirsch, wrote in a kind of amazing commentary on Trei Asar. And he points out that the Baal is the representative of nature, of these powers of nature which are masters over fragile and mortal human beings. So let's worship nature. And God, they could believe in, but they could see him, chas v'shalom, as one of the head Baals, as it were, which is a terrible attitude and a wrong attitude. But it is, to my way of thinking, the Neil deGrasse Tyson attitude of today, which typifies the current secularized world's ability to talk about nature and the universe as if it was a force of somehow intelligence. These are the means by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the universe, but we call it the universe, and that way we don't have to say we believe in God, Chas V'Shalom. So the Baal worship is very much along those lines. How do the Jews react to a lot of this Nebuah? So Dr. Hirsch says, during this period, God appeared to the Jews as an enemy, as one who disturbed their pleasures, as a killjoy. They felt themselves menaced by him, felt him or his supposed wrath, rendering them, as Hosea says, as rot in their bones. We want to do what we want to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivayachol Chas V'Shalom gets in the way. Do we see parallels to our own time? How could we not? Do we see parallels to our attitudes, our behavior? We should, if we're paying attention. Rabbi Beryl Wein, who wrote a wonderful, very small, but really amazing book about Trey Usser called Who Knows 12, which is a great title. He wrote, the books of Trey Usser are contemporary and fresh. These themes have never really changed throughout Jewish and human history. The words are ancient, but the guidance and vision are current and cogent. Each Navi speaks in his own voice and literary style, but the topics and themes discussed by all of them are common to the Sfarim that comprise Trey Usser. Faith and doubt, family and community, national entity, the land of Israel, Jewish survival, sin and repentance, personal and national redemption, assimilation, intermarriage, international disputes, betrayals, scandals, disappointments, heroic behavior are all part of these books. Who can deny that these issues are the forefront of current Jewish life? And he wrote this Sefer some 15 years ago. Look at the world that we live in right now. The post-October 7th world, the Tzaren Mamdani world, the world where the Jew is an epithet to be hated, where the big teachers' unions are expelling Jews and the ADL, and someone was recorded in an interview just 2 days ago, which they didn't know they were being recorded by an undercover reporter, and they said, yeah, we believe in freedom of choice for everybody except Jews. Without shame. I'm sure they are somewhat ashamed now. But this is the world we live in, and Trey Usser is speaking to us. So what a way to end all of Sifrei Nevi'im, but with some kind of bite-sized prophecies that really do have bite to them, as we're going to see. We're going to start with Hosea, and then we're going to move on, eventually getting to Yonah, which should be fun for those of us who are hopefully awake and paying attention. Yom Kippur Mincha time when one gets drowsy. Let's go into Trey Usser.